All right, hello everyone, and welcome to the Deepest Lore. It's time for afternoon tea, or you can have a coffee as well. In fact, this week I have got a coffee. I am drinking a mug of. Sorry, I'm drinking a mug of Nescafe Gold, but specifically the Velveeta version, which is a kind of finer, it's more like a powder than the instant granules. And on the subject of coffee, probably a lot of people think that Nescafe Gold blend is a bit of a mainstream choice and would reflexively be snobby about it. But I think that it's quite a nice taste for a coffee, and there's probably a reason why it's a market leading product. And I have the same view about the McDonald's cheeseburger, as I've mentioned before, the single McDonald's, the standard McDonald's cheeseburger, and indeed about many other products such as the standard, can of Coca-Cola or whatever. But, pick a market leader, Richmond sausages. That's a market leading product, and there's probably a reason. They got something in their formula right. So it stands to reason that that would be everybody's favorite sausage or coffee or whatever else. But this view in the art world would reflexively be seen as a Philistine view. And people would think, well, that's the same in the culinary world as liking a Michael Bay movie, something like this. Any thoughts on this before we carry on?
No, I think that's about right. I think there's like a counter elite perspective where they think like the new elite version is to say, oh no, everything is equal and everything is good and it's just whatever you feel, man, and there's a new kind of elitism and
Unfortunately, rude. People are saying you're a bit too quiet, so we'll have to turn you up a little bit. Let's turn you up a little bit. Cut the
Okay, is
music. Yeah, that's better.
that
That's better. That's better. Okay, so
okay.
now we can hear the ravishing one speak.
Yep. Oh yeah. I'm gyrating as we speak.
People can hear you now. We were having a bit of
Okay.
static before we started, so we turned him down a bit. But there we go. Now, basically, this there's been a feud a brewing in the world of deepest lore art discussion, which is that after we did the first stream on modern art, which was the second episode of this series with Mr. D. Rude came into my DMs furious at absolutely furious at the views that John D was touting on that stream. In fact, I'm going to
That's
directly
right.
quote I'm going to directly
I was
quote what you said. Hold on.
banging on the door. I said, give me a shot.
exactly. Let me just see exactly what you said, because it was a few weeks ago. You said, when are you going to have me on the Deepest Lore to rant about art? There is nobody more aggressively snobbish about art who disagrees with John D entirely, who is a total dilettante. You were basically say you were basically touting your art credentials, saying that you've done an MFA and that you know much more about art than D, who just seems to be a dabbler in your view. So before we get going, why don't you tell us a bit about why you think that your art credentials are better than the actual artiste John D, who lives by his art?
Well, for one thing, nobody who's an actual artist calls themselves an artiste. But anyway, it's or has have any cringe about it when they say, use that word. For one thing, it's not a. I mean, it's a meme to say that one has an MFA. It's yes, it's a joke, a total joke. Degree, and all that. But it's more that because. When you get to that level of institutional understanding about the art world, you really see the reality of it fully exposed to you. You get to see how totally vacuous and useless it is, and that's really the credential, is not being like a dreamer somewhere in a in your own little studio, dabbing brushes of color, but knowing, being exposed to the belly of the beast. We know this is the difference between somebody who's worked in Hollywood and seen its skeletons versus somebody who's quietly making films with optimism in the future of cinema in the 21st century.
Okay, so you're saying that you're better placed than D talk about this because you've seen it up close and personal, whereas D is like dreaming in his little studio somewhere on his in his stately manor somewhere, wherever he lives.
Mr. D is doing it as it should be done, and full credit to him. That's how it should be done. But the reality of trying to be in that world is really crass and puny and full of pathetic people who believe in nothing and to look down on anyone who does believe in something.
So what we're going to do, shortly after that stream, Rude fired off a massive thread on Twitter, and we're going to go through. He made 22 points about art to set the record straight and to set Mr. D straight, basically on the stuff that he was spouting on the first modern art stream. Now, I will say that D was largely successful. A number of people said that he converted them in their views on modern art in that first stream. So let's see, if you remember, we started off reviewing PJW videos. Just before we begin, does PJW have, like, in your view, have things right generally? Even though he may be a bit of a Philistine, is he
Yeah.
basically touching on something true in your view?
Completely. It is a con. It is a total fucking con. I mean, let's elaborate. We'll go through the points, but absolutely is a point. It's not to say, let's try to get more refined with our terms. We're not talking about the modernist period of art, which is totally has lots of fantastic things. You can go to Hyde Park in London today and see some of the greatest modernist sculptures that were ever made. And your children can you can walk, you can go through, you can see Moore sculptures, Henry Moore sculptures, that as a child I played in, and I adore those. Those are great sculptures. It's not like there is no good art in the world. The problem is that people today can't profit from it. So they have to invent a lie to make the shit that's being made now relevant and have some value. They have to invert values in order for shit to be good and for you to think of the good as out of date. And that's basically what it comes down to. And that's what,
Okay.
and that, if anything, is what PJW is really responding to, I would say.
So let's go through your points then, Rude. Before we do so, I'll just mention that I've noticed that D has fired back. He said, "Good luck with that miserable crank. Perhaps his nonsensical ravings will make the viewers hungry for a proper art conversation in the near future." That's how he responded. Any quick reaction to this from D?
Oh, bring it on, baby. Bring it on. That's all I say. Loving it. You love to see it. You love to see it.
Why don't we start then with your first point then?
Okay. So shall I share the
No,
thread
you can
with
just
it?
read them out. You can just read them out. Yeah.
Oh, if it's okay, I'll share the thread because then people
Yeah.
can
Sure.
be reading
Yeah.
ahead and
Yeah, do you want to share it?
Yeah, I'll just do a screen share. Hold on. Select.
D has also called you at the Times a pissant, and
How
has,
kind.
and a peasant of the art world.
Well, he's probably right. I don't think that's, I don't see how that's wrong. Now let's just check. Is this coming through? Hold on.
I don't see anything. I've tried it. I can share my screen if it's easier.
Hold on a sec. It's
No, I can't see anything.
Yeah, it's not, it doesn't want to do it, does it? I'm sorry.
I'll share mine. Hold on. Okay, so here we go. Here's the thread. It's going to start with your number one. Do you want to read it out?
Sure. Okay. Number one, the real aesthetic currency is time. Things either give you time or rob you of it.
Okay, so what is it about? I use the cover painting for today's episode was something by Jackson Pollock. Why is that canvas of splattered paint robbing you of time rather than giving you time, in your view?
Okay, this is a really easy one. Because there's a promise that you get told by critics that if you just stare at it long enough, not as someone joked under the picture probably that D posted, that they're waiting to see the boat come out like a magic image, but that somehow you will be evoked and feel like, say, for example, if we look at like the Autumn Rhythm series of Pollock's works, that somehow this will be ev evocative of not just the artist's internal state, and like, for example, Pollock's very cheesy, typical tortured artist, alcoholic. But also that you'll get a feeling of that equinoctial time of the change of seasons into fall, as Americans call it. But why would you, and at the other level, what painters like and talk about this is the balance of colors. And the way that your eye, for example, is constantly moving and then will find a place to settle in the canvas, right?
And I'll just share what, because this is one that actually John Dee himself put up. Here you go, look. I
Yeah,
mean,
this is the canvas in question.
now I basically trolled this when I saw it, and I said, notice the detail in the bottom right-hand corner compared with the more haphazard and slapdash splatterings on the left. Notice how your eye is drawn to the bottom right. And of course, I was pastiching the sort of responses you were talking about, because clearly zero thought was put into this whatsoever, wasn't I mean,
I don't, there's no.
did Jackson Pollock like really think about what he was doing in the bottom right versus the top left, or was he just literally just splattering paint on a canvas?
It was just splattering and drinking and smoking a lot of cigarettes at the same time. Look, it's a question. How Pollock works is he has the canvas on the floor, right? And he's dribbling the paint. So he'll have like a household can, and he's putting in something. It's usually wasn't like a brush. It was usually like either. I think it probably started with, if I remember correctly, the opposite end, like the handle of the paintbrush, and then dripping off like that. And then he changed to using like a metal rod, if I remember correctly, because the paint flows down it better. And this is the sort of thing that everyone who goes to art school has like a fun, sorry, has a fun time playing about and doing like a bit of a Pollock, right? It's so incredibly easy. That's why this is a waste of your time. This is so incredibly easy, right? Yes, has he done it, made so many of these pictures and probably trashed more than anyone will ever see until he's refined the technique to such a point where he can be doing, like, the idea is that he's doing automatic painting, right? So this is the thing, is he's sort of going to like a trance. It's the sort of like this is like the beginning of Pollock is actually in like the late 40s and early 50s. So this is before like it's really the very, very like Pollock and Barnett Newman and others. They're at the very forefront of like the counterculture that's coming out of the post-war period in the United States. So, but anyway, what's going on with this is just like he is just automatically just like moving over the canvas, and he's in effect drawing himself into a trance where he's deliberately not thinking about it, you know? He's just knowing, he's just keep going, and the trick is to know when to stop, right? Well, there are plenty of other artists who work in the same way who don't produce, you know, an incoherent. The thing is, it's too hard to say that this is a nothing, right? Because it's not. There's a far worse examples of this type of picture, right? But just because he has dribbled paint over so many, many, many times, right, and refined his practice and his mode of doing it, doesn't actually make it any more interesting. Doesn't actually make it any more rewarding for you, right? It's more rewarding for him. It's more rewarding for Pollock, right? And it's certainly more rewarding for the person who makes a career out of discovering him and pushing him. But it's not more rewarding for you. And that's all that matters. All that matters is your time as the viewer, not Pollock's time, right? He doesn't need to show. That's the thing. Most people should just not, they should just make their pictures in peace and not bother anyone with them.
A number of pushbacks coming from the chat. First of all, D Dangerfield is there saying it's a bit superficial writing off modern art as a con. Without working artists, our aesthetic realm would be dominated by marketing, causing history to be one of the market-based ideas.
But that's precisely what it is. That's precisely what it is. Look at the 90s, the shock generation. Who pushed all of that? Saatchi. You know, this is it's already over, Dangerfield, mate. It's already over. That's all that gets pushed forward. Why is Hearst the king? Right? Because he is slick. He is marketing, right? And it's funny you mention this, right? Because all of this post-war period of this of these abstract expressionist artists, right? They were all pushed by the CIA, literally by the CIA, as part of the cultural war against the Soviet Union, right? So this is marketing. That's the only reason you hear of it. That's the only reason it was taught in schools to people. You know, so it's.
Now there's another chap in the chat called EF Casual saying that the thing is with Pollock, you have to see this in person. You have to go there. And he said, you know, if you saw this painting in real life, it does do something, and you can't get the same impression just looking at it on a screen. What do you say about that?
It's absolutely true, but that's true of every single artwork. So that doesn't really. So why is it the things that aren't like this? Why is it the things that are depictive, right? Why is it classical paintings can work when reduced to a small scale and looked at on a screen, and this can't? You know why? You know. So I would say that that's a representation of the strength of the composition, and the ability of the forms to better communicate. Look, I understand what you're saying. I go into the Tate Modern and I go into the Rothko room. It's okay. I've seen all of this. I don't want people to think that I'm some ignorant Philistine. I have been to every single major gallery in the world. This is not, with the exception of the United States, I should say. So this is not like I don't like art. I like it a
But
lot.
is, I mean, is the sensation you're getting there, like, if there's a very large canvas on a wall, even if it's a blank canvas, there's a sensation to it because it's like, oh,
Exactly.
big, oh, big, it's big.
It's the tactics of billboards. It's the same. There is no difference substantively. The tactics between this, that's why what Warhol does, right, as vapid and cynical as it is, works. Because it's just the same. That's exactly the effect. You could produce this a similar sort of thing, right? Possibly not as refined, right? But nowadays with an algorithm, right? Truly with AI generative art, and you blow it up to the scale, and you're going to have the same. You're going to have a very similar result, right? The difference, the thing that filters it for you, and makes it more revered, is because you've been conditioned to buy into the idea of revering Pollock, right? And thinking that. And regarding him as an important artist and as a thing. You've been told this is the modern canon. And the truth is, of course, for people who are in, and let's just make this clear. So I'm not against modern art. Like I said, I'm not against modern art. I'm a total big fan of the modernists, right? I'm against and I feel like Pollock is in no way like a criminal in the same way that Duchamp is. May he burn in hell, right? It's the contemporary artists that I have no, well, practically
No,
no time for. There's always exceptions, of course. There's always some exception to the rule who's good.
there's one other devil's advocate point I want to make here, which is that earlier on we were talking about the ease of producing a thing like this. That's even I could do it. Someone who's never painted before, if you told me exactly, how to pour the paint on the canvas, I could probably with a,
Yeah,
in a day or
but whether
two,
you could
make.
or couldn't doesn't count. You know what I mean? I don't think you could because you would have to be doing this for years, and why
Why?
would you do that when you, because the little things you learn about the technique of dribbling the paint, and stuff, I know it sounds pathetic, right? It is pathetic, but it is true. Like with any, like every craft, practice is involved.
Now, but the point I wanted to make is, let's just pretend it was, okay? Let's just pretend it was easy to produce this, okay? Would it matter? Because I think, I started this stream talking about Nescafe Gold and McDonald's cheeseburger. But in the cut, like sometimes in cooking, simplicity is best. It doesn't take much to make an omelette, unless you're Froggy, of course. but it doesn't take much to make an omelette or something like, I don't know, cheese on toast. But the results, even in the very simplicity of it, the results can still be fantastic. A lot of Italian cooking is like this, letting the ingredients speak for themselves. Why can't
Exactly.
the Pollock be letting the ingredients, in this case the colors, speak for themselves?
That's a really good point, but this is actually not what he's doing, right? That's the excuse that gets made for this, which is I didn't get around to it concisely enough. I'm sorry, but that's how painters like to talk about painting. They say, "Oh, and I've literally heard this. I am not. I am paraphrasing, but." So close to like word for word quote, it's not funny. That, oh, they didn't believe in any of those ideas back then in the Renaissance or the Baroque period or the Romanesque period. All they cared about was the painting. They cared about the paint. They cared about the color. They cared about the balance between the colors and the materiality. And really all the other stuff was just like a bit of hucksterism because that's what they could do to get the contract. They literally believe this because of their thinking, as I don't have any ideas, right? So nobody must have any ideas, and it's all just a put on because and the ones who succeeded, Michelangelo succeeded, just because he was the best at being able to depict the themes of the Last Judgment, right? He really didn't care about any of these ideas. He was really just interested in the paint. What a total fucking lie.
Let's move on to your next point, because there's all 22 of these. So, yeah, why didn't you say
Okay.
that?
Okay. You like shit, useless art because you are morally and intellectually useless.
Now,
Right?
when you're saying you there, do you mean the artiste John D, or do you mean like you in general?
I don't mean anyone in specific, and I mean I'm really talking to those bullshit artists who are still bullshitting and staying in the contemporary art world. I definitely don't mean Mr. D. As much as this WWE type feud is cool, and I'm happy to play the role of the heel, and I have no problem people booing me. It's just that it's not about that. It's just saying that people make excuses for crap because they are crap. The reason they can't see, the reason they have such low expectations and low standards for things is because their expectations is low, because they can't see more into it. The reason, like the person I was just like paraphrasing was look up AI, look up an artist called Judy Miller, Judy
Judy Miller.
Millar, painter, right?
Oh.
No, AR.
Judy Miller, a New Zealand artist. Okay, yeah.
To look at some of her pictures, right? Now, I'm not trying to, she's actually a lovely person. Right, so I'm not trying to. This is some of her recent work. Any one of these, any one of those. They're all the process is all the same, right? And so this is not personal. This is not personal because actually she's a really nice person. Okay. This is made how the process of making this picture is literally done. This is a developed process, just like Pollock. Same developed process. She was experimenting with smearing paint on a surface in a canvas with her bare hands, and then later on like a dishwashing glove, right? And she uses the edge of her hand to do this. And if you've ever like done washing up or you like Mr. D or you like cooking, you know how you can move around the grease on the plate or something, and you can actually draw with it and make figures, right? So like it's not like it's inherently like you're not allowed to make a picture out of this. I actually don't that particular this particular one, I don't hate this, right? But I'm not going to spend any time on it. I'm not
What's
going to
wrong with
give it.
what's wrong with it? It looks like, I mean, looking at it now, I could say, well, I'm picking up themes of maybe Dante's Inferno, is this in hell, or is it hell on earth, or these are what is coming to my mind, but that's because I know nothing. So tell me, what am I looking at?
Well, intrinsically, you're not necessarily looking at anything. I'm not sure exactly what the name of this work is, right? But that would be used as a clue, as a way of finding a way in. But my point is that she doesn't believe that there's anything exists but like mark on a canvas or color, and she doesn't think there's anything else exists on the paint. Well, of course she's going to make pictures that doesn't that don't depict anything, because she doesn't believe that anything else exists, and that no painters ever have. Like it's.
But there's somebody, there's people in the chat saying, I see a ship burning into the ocean. Maybe it's a metaphor for the ashes of Western civilization. I mean, aren't we running into the problem here that, it's in the
Hope.
eye of the beholder? Well, it's in the eye of the beholder, and actually we could look at this and see things of
Sure.
value in there, because
It's.
we're looking, and I can see the ship now that they've mentioned it, with this kind of bit here swirling. swirling in the
Especially the
back, maybe that's a
bow coming
whirlpool.
up, it could
Yeah.
also look like a praying mantis, insectoid, like something out of what's that character John from Mars? They made a move. They made a tried to make a Disney movie about it. That cartoon character. People in the chat will know. Of course, I can potentially see all these things, but that's my point. It's using my time. It's reliant on my imagination to supply, right? It's not giving it.
But
That's the point.
somebody saying here says Rude needs to have his painting spell out a precise message or it's not inspiring.
Not at all. Not at all. But it needs to be something there. It needs to not just be relying on your investing. It's funny you say Dante's Inferno. I thought if we ran through this fast enough, I was going to go through some great. Hang on, let me find you a link of something nice. Let's give you something that's really interesting. That's art. That's illustrated. I'm just going to send you a picture. Give me a link.
Who's sending this to me on Twitter,
Yeah,
is
this
it?
is going to no, this is just going to go in the private chat because it's just faster, if that's
Okay.
okay.
Right. Yeah. I'll
This
get
is
this
going to
up.
be hard for people to probably see on the thing, but if anyone wants to look up Botticelli drawings for Dante's Divine Comedy.
Here you go. Yeah.
Right? This is at the end of Purgatory. These are just drawings. These aren't even the fully illustrated things. This is one of the most beautiful things. If you can zoom in, you can see the beauty of the line work. Right? Why is this better? Right? In fact, I can give you there's a fantastic one I'm gonna get up for you, which is even better, is Lucifer from the series. Botticelli Divine Comedy. Hold on a second. Images. No, we don't want Pinterest. Hold on a sec. There we go. It's in the Wikipedia.
I'm continuing to look at
There we go.
somebody
It's in
says that
the
the second one is 1 million times better, 1 billion times better, they said. So you've won
Yeah.
some people over.
Well, it's because it's true.
But I mean,
Hold on.
if John D was here, he'd just be saying, yeah, of course. But that's because you're comparing Botticelli to some random artist from New Zealand.
Yeah, but then why waste time with some random artist when you have Botticelli? That's my point. That's my whole point. It's the same thing. I've sent you the Lucifer.
Okay.
That's Look at this. This is now zoom into that. Press Control Plus. You'll be able to zoom in more. Look at this. This is like, look at the gorgeousness of this. And also, you can get this, by the way, it's a fantastic book of the complete drawings of this. It's available in hardcover. It's a knockout. It's worth every penny. Especially if you like Botticelli.
I can imagine some people, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Botticelli or you or anybody else here, but I can imagine some people saying, well, yeah, but I've seen D&D art better than that. What's the difference between this and D&D 4th edition Monster Manual? They would say.
I think that's a really fair point. I think there's two things that are better. One is that with this, Botticelli's actually integrating not just Dante, right? But the entirety of like Christian and European pagan symbolism, right? So this is really deep and rich image, right? In addition, I'm sorry, I've seen a lot of D&D, and it ain't as good as this. It ain't as interesting. Look at the turn of the wheel. Look at what's happening, right? What's happening is this is actually like an illustration in time, right? This is closer to like a comic book than it is to like a single illustration. You know, it's what you see here in the figures. This is Virgil accompanying Dante into the descent into hell, right? So this is from the end of Inferno, right? So what's happening is it starts off and Virgil's pointed to him and Dante's looking at horror. He can't look at Lucifer, and then Virgil's telling him that he has to look at it, and then there's a sense. See how he's got his hands, like zoom in, sorry, zoom in again. You can see how they're actually touching the fur of Satan. You know, it's an incredible depiction. You know, and he's like this bestial man. You know, so it's got deeper themes. Also, I would say there's also a really interesting connection with if anyone knows anything about like Romanesque art, this is a depiction you often see, which is winged like angels with like the sort of seraphim with eyes in the wings. You know, and since he's a fallen angel, you know,
But
like.
what I hear you saying though is a set of implicit kind of preference scales here, whereby something that has what I describe as narrative themes is better than something without narrative themes, or something that has deep esoteric symbolism is better than something that does not have deep esoteric symbolism. But
Not necessarily.
what is stopping someone saying that? Well, my preference scale is that abstract. I prefer abstract things that don't have narrative or symbolism in them necessarily.
I don't even think it's about that. I'm just using like you brought up the you said, oh, I see. It makes me like evokes and evokes. Like potentially Dante's Inferno, right? And I said, well, why waste your time with that when you have the master? You know, like there's only just like books. Let's think of an analogy that you understand very well. What is the point of reading bad literature? I don't get why anyone does it. You cannot live long enough to read all the great books unless you stopped and you know, maybe did nothing, you know? Why would you waste time on crap when you can concentrate and read the good? You know, like, why bother? You know, which is going to enrich you? This is my point. What is going to give you the most benefit, right? What is going to enrich you the most? You know, is it reading Zadie Smith? And actually, she's not the worst example. Who's that, like, Ordinary People? Who's that novelist? Oh, I can't remember. Sally, whatever her name is. Why would you waste time with that? You know, you can read Stendhal. You know? You can read Red and the Black.
But it could there could be someone whose preference scale prefers
Then they have shit
those new
taste. I'm sorry.
but how do you
People can prefer whatever they want, AA. You know, it doesn't make it good. That's fine. Everyone can do whatever they like. I'm not running and nor would I seek to run a totalitarian dictatorship. But if I was running a totalitarian dictatorship, I wouldn't be, you know, I wouldn't be teaching crap and normalizing it as being good. Just the same way I wouldn't be teaching Stormzy in school, you know, next to Shakespeare. That is a waste of time. That is stealing people's children's time, right? Their education could go to them learning math. Their education could go to them learning Dante. You know, and look, I'm not trying to, please don't think that I think that everything that comes out of the classical world is great. You know, not at all. Let's look at Dante, for example. I think La Vita Nuova is like saccharine drivel. Why didn't he just sack up and talk to her? Did you know what I mean? Like he, it's almost unbearable, right? All he, you know. So it's not like I have this idea that old good, new bad. No, just we have time has washed away, right? Most of the crap, right? There will always be things that human beings miss, right? Bark was ignored for centuries, right? It has nothing to do with that. But given that you have it, you have the palate, you have all of these things, these choices, right? Why not choose the good? Why not choose what's going to enrich you the most? That is my argument. In a nutshell, that is my argument. And it is true what I'm saying. Things. Well, the only currency that really exists when it comes to things are things that you give your time to. All the currency you have in your life is time, right? Things either give you time or they steal it from you, right? By either getting you to put something in or by having illusions, right? Like through advertising or whatever. No, don't do this.
So let's have a look at your third point, which is about Duchamp. You say Duchamp is not an artist. He was a spiritual aesthetic criminal. What he did was aesthetic subversion and demoralization, and he had no artistic desire whatsoever. And I believe D has been linking a few Duchamp's pieces of late.
Oh
Let me just
my
find
gosh. Please don't
this.
tell me he actually has.
Yeah, this is one of by him. This is Marcel Duchamp, right? So what's so bad about that?
But look, that's a totally irrelevant work by Duchamp. Nobody cares about that. Only thing that has any relevance and has had any influence is the toilet. Is the toilet bowl. So this is not a counter argument. This is like who, what did he profess? What was his values? His values were just were to suggest, right, and you know, convincingly, I'm afraid to say, right, not because it's a good argument, but because he managed to con people into it, right? Well, actually, he didn't manage to con people into it. All the successive imitations of it normalized shit, right? That normalization of a lie. That anything can be a work of art, and anything can be a work of art, including like a urinal, right? That's the problem. That's what makes him a psychic criminal, and psychic criminals go to the gulag.
This is the piece you're talking about. Now we did talk about this before because PJW picked up on this as well. Mr. D explained that this was just a comment he was making. He was actually more on PJW's side because this was a satire of the art world. This was the, you know, what do you say about that argument that he is actually making the same point that this is a bit of a con and making fun of that. So does that not excuse it?
I don't think so, because because every interview I've seen with him and talk with him, yes, he's making that point, but so does Warhol, right? But it doesn't add anything, you know? You can negate that by making something great. What negates the con better? You know, the Rape of Proserpina by Bernini or this urinal? You know, again, what gives you time? What takes your time? It's a weak idea. What a waste of time.
I mean, what about this one? I mean, this looks like it's got some interesting things going on. That we see here that the kind of wheel of a penny farthing or a large pram. We see there's some sort of smoke thing emanating from that, with a little kind of Monty Python-esque finger pointing, and it goes to
The old, you know, which they took from the old signs of the time. You know, they didn't have arrows. They had, because people didn't know about arrows. They knew
And then
about
we've
hands
got
pointing.
what looks like
Like
a
an
kind of,
abacus. Like an abacus, sort of, right?
or
Like
well, I
it's.
would say this is like a kite with bits of flags on it or something like that. And then all of these textiles going back, and there's a little eye right
Wee,
in the middle of it.
wow.
And then there seems
Wow.
to be a crack in the fabric of time and space.
Space.
And what we're looking at here is is The Breakdown of Western Metaphysics Following Nietzsche?
Cool.
No? No?
Yeah, couldn't. Yeah, but again, couldn't you just have a conversation about that?
But then, well,
Like,
it's a
and you
com
would
this
actually
well this
concretely, you'd actually concretely actually and get to that. I just,
but
no,
this
you're reading that into that. Okay, great.
yeah but
And
what's wrong with my re what I'm saying is I wouldn't have been thinking about these things had it not been evoked in me
not.
by Duchamp here, and now I'm th and now I'm thinking, yeah, I mean, we are in a this problem where truth and meaning are breaking down. And it has come because of what Nietzsche said, because of the breakdown of belief in religious faith, the breaking down of grand meta-narratives. And here Duchamp is evoking all of these things with this image that seems to resist cogent meaning or symbolism, but yet still seems to gesture towards them. What's wrong? I mean,
No, let me
no?
rephrase. Let's like just renegate that. How can you say, "Oh, I would never have thought about Nietzsche and the breakdown of society"? You obviously have thought about that. We have a video record of you thinking about these things,
it's a
you
well,
know.
yeah,
So
okay, but this
it's
brought it
nonsense.
of all the thousands of things that go around in my mind that are competing for space. I've got Nietzsche and Western metaphysics on the one hand, Nest's Cafe Gold on the other hand, Batman on the other hand, thinking about last night's
Look, I
vice
would take.
presidential debates, and you know, thinking about the tree that I'm looking at outside. And of all of those things, this painting has brought that to the fore and is now making me meditate on the collapse of meaning in the West. Yeah, no.
Disingenuously, but yes. Look, I don't know what to say. It makes, speaking of Batman, it makes me think of Dave McKean, in Arkham Asylum. That like. He's, you know, probably some of this was an influence on it. Yeah, well, I'm not like you miss it, as I've said to you, it's not like I'm saying everything is shit. I'm saying that you're like, why waste time on this?
I mean,
Okay, like it's everyone's.
we can even make different readings of it. I could approach it like Alex Jones, and Alex Jones could say, clearly Duchamp is getting at the fact that we're all run by the Illuminati, and that eye there is similar to that eye that you see on the on the $10
The
bill,
banknote, yeah,
the
that's right.
banknote,
The
and
all-seeing eye, yeah, that's right.
this all-seeing eye is looking directly at us. As the world around us falls down, this is still, capturing our gaze, and we can look at nothing else. So maybe Duchamp is actually pretty woke. He's pretty hip to what's going on, and he's drawing attention to it in a very profound and esoteric way.
Yeah, that's what's called not a very persuasive reading.
All right.
I don't know. Like I could also pull something out of my ass, to try to justify it.
I could do this all day. I could probably generate about 50 readings of this painting if I
I'm
was
sure you
forced to.
could. I'm sure you could.
No,
It's not, and
it could
so
be
could
a
I, but
meditation
it's.
on it could be a meditation on the on the on the nature of color blindness. As somebody who struggles
Or obsessive compulsiveness and stacking stickies, different coloring stickies that I must compulsively buy, like it's which I have a collection of, like it means, but so what?
the argument would be, though, we have now talked about this painting for what, 10 minutes, and I've generated all sorts of interesting readings.
No, they
Whereas
weren't interesting readings.
when you're looking when you're looking at, Madonna with Child, 88th iteration by Michelangelo or whatever, you can't do that because it's literally just a picture of Madonna and Child yet again. Whereas this, it's a conversation starter.
No, what's it's that's a it's such a lie. That's the thing, right? You don't even believe what you're saying, right? Now, listen, the reason why this is such a lie is you write 10 minutes of wasted time. That's precisely my point, right? Why would I do this? I could eat a croissant, right? If I'm in Paris and I'm going to go see this, I could eat a croissant, the best, at or in London there used to be Patisserie Valerie, right? It still exists, but I don't know if it's as good as it used to be. But I could have that. Why have the croissant? It's more rich. It's more beautiful. Why?
Well, look,
Why
I
eat the
mean,
poor fruit? Look,
Rude,
think of all the trees. Think of, sorry.
you're not seeing some of the profound things in this painting, though. So I've just seen something else, right? Look, the finger is pointing towards what appears to be a kind of fallen hat stand or something like this here in the back. Can you
Yeah,
see the kind of
or it could
fallen?
be, or it could be like it looks like a semaphore of like a musical note. There's all sorts
It's
of
something.
things that it looks like.
But all of this over here is a distraction. It's a distraction because the really disturbing thing happening is this crack in the fabric of the universe, this crack of relativism, this crack of people no longer believing in one single unified objective truth, and yet our directions are being we're being asked to look at this. And so we are being distracted from what's really going on by the likes of this sinister finger.
Or the thing, it could be pointing at the really sinister little black blob that's hanging like a sort of strange fruit.
Exactly.
This could be an allusion to lynchings, in the United States. It could be, so
In
it
fact,
could be
that's a very
anything.
good reading. It's a profound meditation on race relations in early 20th century America, and it's in fact a condemnation of Woodrow Wilson's white supremacy.
That's right, and his, I'm assuming, terrible taxation laws.
I mean, are we not proving my point that yes, okay,
No, you're proving my point. You're proving
different.
my point.
But the fact
That's
that there's no
exact
stable,
opposite.
the fact that we can generate all sorts of different interpretations of this in itself is the joy of it. It's
No,
a
no.
kind of interpretation engine, if you
Sure.
want.
If you do it once in a blue moon, sure. If you've spent a lifetime looking at art, what a waste of time. I'm sorry. I just don't agree. I can look at, for example, de Kooning. I could look at this and I could potentially get more out of it. But it's okay. De Kooning is okay. I don't really have a problem with de Kooning, right?
Well, okay,
The problem with it, if I had a problem
hold
with
on.
it's a bit ugliness.
Hold on, though, Rude. Now, we just looked at that Duchamp and it had lots of stuff going on, and I gave, at least 10 amazing readings of it, and you gave a
You didn't
couple
do
as well.
10. It was about five,
All
but
right, well, I could come up
anyway,
with five more. Okay.
I'm
Now,
sure you could.
what has this got over that? Why, how can you get on board with this but not that?
I don't. I just. I've. I'm, he misunderstand. I'm not gonna do a spluttering moment. Here's the thing. I don't care about little things over which little thing that's okay is not so bad as whatever. That's just my preference. For example, I like I might like, oh, let's say something that I do like that's not too, like, for example, I like a period of Tejano music, right? Which is like music from Southern American and Mexican border, right? And some of it's really good. Some of it's just like poppy, but it's cool. It's got a cool vibe, right? But I also know the reason I like it. I also have the introspection enough to know that the reason I like it is because of exoticism, right? Not necessarily because if I actually knew the lyrics, it probably wouldn't be as good. I'll give you an example. Has anyone seen that Italian TV show that got broadcast on HBO, My Brilliant Friend? The most recent season that aired recently this year, there's like a schmaltzy Italian pop song, From the 60s, and I'd never heard it, and I was like kind of like really it had like an earworm effect on me. It was, and I still kind of enjoy it, right? But I gave it to my I sent it to my friend who speaks Italian, and she was telling me that how totally painful the lyrics were. It was like, oh, I adore your hair, like the thing pulling down. It was banal, right? But the reason I partly liked it is because this is because I didn't know what it meant. I could project into it, right, something that was more profound than what the actual song was, right? This is a perfect analogy,
But
right? It's the same thing with like Radiohead.
it can evoke it in you. It can evoke it in you. Like, look at this one that we're looking at right now. Okay, what I'm getting from this is something that goes deep in the human condition, which is the encounter with the other. Emmanuel Levinas says that ethics starts with the encounter with the other, and clearly this figure is that we're looking at here. It is showing us the moment in which we encounter the other, and this is what it's bringing home to me in a profound way. What's wrong with that?
Sure. No, I actually would say I actually think that's a really that genuinely is a profound reading. That actually is a valid reading from this. I would say that's part of definitely one of the things, especially in this pose, right? Which is de Kooning's, in a way, making you like not believe your fooling eyes. Like perhaps this is a beautiful woman that's sitting to him, but he's trying to depict not necessarily like what's inside or whatever he can't see, but he's trying to constantly perhaps remind his eye of how alien this person is to him because he doesn't actually know them, or
But it doesn't sugarcoat
perhaps it's a loved one. Yeah, it doesn't sugarcoat it. That's interesting. That is actually interesting,
it,
right?
but not only it doesn't it sugarcoat it. It brings home the horror of the other, which is a
Yes.
genuine thing that we still
Yeah.
struggle with today. That even now in 2020, you could say, well, this is something that human beings have not been able to get over, no matter how much people try to accentuate what is similar between people, or how much people try to give us slogans to believe otherwise. Actually, when push comes to shove, you're face to face with this basically demonic figure, and we don't know what to do with it, and it scares us. It scares us to the m bone marrow, and this makes this Kooning painting a masterpiece. I should be an art
But
critic. I'm joking.
you should, because that's the, but as I said, I have a lot more time for this than I do the other, because here's the thing, you and I can agree about that interpretation. It actually is being brought forth by the work, right? We're not having to make shit up in order to justify it, right? The work itself is suggesting that reading, right? That's why what you said
But
resonates
now
and is a valid
I've
reading. The
just
fact that you and I agree about it, right, gives more legitimacy to that reading,
But
right?
now I've just spotted something else rude as well. I can't, looking at it more closely, and now that I've spent time, and I've spent 10 minutes on it. Now you could say that's taking time or it's giving time, but I mean, you can't help but notice that these are two rather large breasts here. But now I've noticed that it seems to be cradling something, and maybe this here is a baby. So we're actually looking at not only an encounter with the other, as I was talking about, but this seems to be a mother with child. And this, now that I've spotted that it's a mother with child, maybe some of my more na na maybe now we think, well, we can see this with a different pair of eyes. It's a more sympathetic creature than a threat. So that is now, again, talking about something in the human condition. Now it's now that initial reaction is being softened, that we think of it as a mother with child, and we think, oh well, maybe I want to be friends with her now because of our natural instincts to protect women and children, something like this. I don't
Or
know.
it could be a communication of the Koenig's latent homosexuality. That he has no interest in children. So like I think not, I mean, not all gays are like this. That's not what I mean. I'm just trying to say that like it's. I would say if anything, it's to more to your point, more to the trenchant idea, the idea that has substance is the horror of the other of another person, and even that what makes this so terrifying is when it's an intimate, right? When it's like someone that you actually love and care for, and on whom you depend, that can make that line of unknowability. That's what precisely what can make it terrifying and horrifying.
Now, somebody just spotted a bird on the left-hand side, which is now making me think that this might be a pirate.
Hey, it could be. It's a transvest. It's a transsexual pirate.
With a bandana.
Yeah,
So that.
totally.
Oh, all right. Let's have another look at. Let's have another look. The children of Duchamp are also spiritual aesthetic criminals. Spiritual aesthetic criminals must be sent to the gulag. If you do not stop spiritual aesthetic criminals, your culture will collapse. Why don't you tell me about this? How are these masterpieces that D is painting here? How are these masterpieces that D has posted going to bring about the collapse of Western civilization?
Well, look, hey, let's not choose this one because this guy is not all bad. So let's just keep it to, look for number one, the children of Duchamp is not every single artist that came after him.
Well,
The children of Duchamp,
let's leave it with Duchamp
no,
himself, right?
no,
Yeah.
let's look at Hearst, right? Let's actually look at who, let's look at Damien, let's look at Tracy Emin. Look, let's, come on. Like it's a bit harder when you're saying, I don't mean, right? And I'm fine with things being provocative, right? But I don't mean every single person who's made art after the year 1912. So this is not what I meant
Okay,
at all.
so let's look at the Damien. I mean, I we what's wrong with this though?
Totally.
I mean, this is
No.
this to me automatically. I'm saying, well, we live in a commodified world. This is what's happening to cows everywhere, and yet we still take part in this process of commodification to the extent where we're actually not only happy to see this cow be encased in this way, but we're actually happy to go and see this as art, and we make peace with that. So a confrontation with this cow is a confrontation with the demon in ourselves,
No,
and
it's
that's
not with the
the.
demon in ourselves. You're drifting. What you first said is
Oh,
trenchant.
all right, okay.
Like it is about the commodification of things and about cattle and about like how we use them as in slaughter. And also it's about how the aestheticization of horrors, right, makes them bearable and allows us to ignore them. It allows us to not deal with the potential cruelty of, for example, having animals that we eat. So the problem with Hearst, right, isn't that he's never had an idea, right? He has. The problem is that he dilutes it so incredibly by pumping out the same idea again and 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 again, right?
But this could,
When this
yeah.
first came out, this and say the shark is weaker, it's not as strong, but these and the ones where the cow is sliced into portions,
Yeah.
that's when it's really strong. By the by the fifth or sixth or seventh time, it starts losing its
Hold
meaning.
on a second. Hold on a second, though. So the interpretation that you just gave, though, is not the only possibility. For
No,
example,
of course not.
it could be going beyond that. So, I mean, I was trying to say that we actually make peace with this all the time, and we kind of double think ourselves into thinking it's okay. So there is a kind of confrontation with our inner demon, But it is also the fact that we are also the cattle in the box. We are cattle too, and so we all take part in this process of looking at the cow in the box, because we are the cows too. Something like this.
Yeah, I mean that's that reading. I think that reading. I buy that reading because, you know, for example, the white frame of the boxes, and you're sitting in a white gallery space. So yeah. I buy that.
Right. And what happens in the process of commodification? You do it again and you do it again and you do it again and you do it again. So you could say, well, his whole career is making a comment on that. And you could say, well, yeah, Andy Warhol did it first. But yep. He could just be saying, well, I'm still making the same comment over and over again until people get this.
Yeah, okay. It's boring. Who cares? You know, I just don't understand. You know, yes, you're right. Anyone can do whatever the fuck they want, right? That's not even slightly my basis. My point is that there is a moral value to all these things, right? And I'm not even talking about what, you know, this I'm sure this cow died fine. He bought it rather than it being going to, from what I understand, rather than it going to slaughter. So he didn't do anything different than you or me buying a steak or something, right? So he's no more guilty of mm-hmm. any indecency than we are when we go out to eat. But it's not that. It's shit. I need to piss. So it's getting in the way of my being able to think at this moment. But
well, look, this is called the.
There's a moral dimension to the way that you use and abuse people's time and control their attention and what you value or don't value, right? For example, this is a reference to. This makes me think of like Magritte, right? As much as
It's called The Pursuit of Oblivion.
Hmm.
And that's you. We're looking at you, just an empty coat with an umbrella for a head. Sitting in that abattoir, looking forward to your next steak. That's all of us.
Mm.
Something like this.
Yeah. What about okay? And what about, you know? And great. No, but it's true. He had a very fertile period. There's this period and the beginning of the medicine cabinets, right, where he's got pills that are arranged, you know.
And but this was meant to be the great villain. What's wrong? He's making, you know, we're still looking at interesting things, aren't we?
No, the point is why, again, maybe it's just me. Perhaps it is just me. But again, as I say, I can go to the very best. I've seen it all, right? And look back in retrospect, what holds? What has meaning? What has a sense of timelessness? Right, it ain't this, you know, and it sure as shit ain't the reams and reams written about it, you know.
Why don't we? Do you need to go to the loo very quickly,
Rude? I genuinely do. Why don't you read some super chats that are telling me what an awful person I am? I'm sure.
And if they're really bad,
we can stop.
I'll hit the super chats. All right.
Okay. Cool.
So okay. So number of super chats have come in. Red Fox Moon says, have some shill bucks, AA. Well, it's funny you say that, Red Fox Moon. There because if you haven't taken my course Foundations of Economics yet, you should. It can be yours for a paltry sum of only £350. It's a fantastic course. You'll learn also everything you ever need to know about, or everything you'll need to know how to think like an economist. I break down the fundamental concepts. I ask, first principle questions like what even is economics, and then we build it up. Looking first at the Robinson Crusoe one-person economy, then exchange, then introduce money. Then we look at prices. Then I look at the notion of time and how time is a constant factor in human relations. and how to calculate, for example, the pure rate of interest. Then I look at production and how to think about production in a market economy. Then I spend a whole lecture on the nature of cost, much misunderstood concept in economic terms that has done much damage in economic theory. I explain how Ricardo and Smith and people like this were wrong about cost, but not only them, people like Milton Friedman and George Stigler too. And then finally, I look at uncertainty, entrepreneurship, and the nature of profit. Again, all concepts that are fundamentally misunderstood by the sorts of people who write books on economics from Harvard. So buy my course, Foundations of Economics. Rudy, you back here? No. Okay, I'll carry on. JP says, one could argue writing adult female human would be artistic expression now. Yeah, well, why not?
It's certainly endearing.
JP was like, you probably missed my intense shilling while you were gone. I thought I'd take my opportunity to.
No, I had my wireless headphones all the way while I was tinkling. I
Yeah,
don't
you
miss a
know.
single precious moment of that sweet, sweet.
Yeah, you know, I a lot of people have said things like, oh, I'm waiting for Christmas, or I'm waiting for. You've got to understand that cost is a mental event. And yeah, there is such a thing as time preference, but I would say there's no. I would say that the utility in doing the course sooner rather than later is that you will live more of your life with economic knowledge. So
Totally. It
there's no point in
literally
putting it
gives you
off.
more, it gives you more valuable time. This is what I would say. Don't go to the British Museum. Okay, you can go to the British Museum for free, but don't go to any art exhibition or museum for 2 years that you have to pay for. Boom, that there you go. You've covered AA's
Exactly.
program. This is what I'm telling you to do. There are better uses of your time. Learn something.
Yeah, and indeed, the fact of the matter is that because cost is a mental event, if you really want to do the course and you give the £350 in exchange, you actually make a profit because you wanted the course more than the £350. Whereas if you don't, you want the £350 more than the course. But if that is the case, ask, well, what are you going to do with that £350? What, buy pot
Yeah,
noodles?
fritter it away. Yeah,
Fritter it
just gonna
away on
fritter it
Charlie
away.
Bingham meals?
Totally. And look, here's
Yeah.
the thing. You will understand the total in totality the value of the principle AA is telling you if you take his course just for a measly £350.
Exactly. Okay, so. Let's
I'm gonna
carry.
spend my money on it. Are you?
Exactly. Well, exactly. Yeah. And so JP says these things are like mirrors and not traditional art. This is still valid. What do you
Yeah, I think
say
that
about that?
is. No, I think that absolutely is true. But again, if thinking about that, AA, bring up man, look up Manet. I'm sorry, I can't, guys. I did have like a whole bunch of tabs of art to share, but because it's
Manet, any specific
Manet.
painting by
Yeah,
him?
it's we want the one at the bar.
Okay, so a
Like in.
bar at the, yeah, I've got
Yeah,
it, yeah.
that's right. A bar at the Folies Bergère.
Yep, here she is.
Folies Bergère.
Let's get it up. So
Make
there
that
you
full
go.
screen, partner.
Okay.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
A mirror is precisely what Manet does so well. And also, you could look at Velázquez for the same
Do you
it's
know what I
not
like
by
about
the
it?
way it's not Velázquez, by the way. He's a Spanish painter, not I mean I could be t actually I sound like a total asshole right now, so it probably means I'm wrong. But he's not from South America, he's from Spain, so it's supposed to be like that. Th
Do you know what I like about this painting?
What?
It is the just the default assumption that the person looking at it would look like this man here. See him in the top right. That this would be
Totally.
the typical customer, and that this by inference, this is you. So
Exactly.
there is a what feminists would call a default male gaze here,
Yep, but
because
for the
that's meant to be
times,
us. Yeah.
total nonsense reading. That's why feminists are dumb. What this is saying, it's asking you step into the shoes of that position, right? So even if you're another woman, right? So if you're a woman, you step into this, you're feeling like, oh shit, what am I? There's a power dynamic going on here. All of the things that they want to read into it. That's what makes us interesting, because you step into that position of
But
that.
what's the
And
difference?
look how
What's the
clever this
difference,
is.
Rude? What's the difference, Rude, between this and what we were doing with the Deschamps and what we were doing with the
Because this actually is about optics. This actually is about a mirror, right? Look at what it's doing. Look at the angle of the mirror. It's doing. Look at how we're actually. It's almost like our point of view is not the point of view of the reflection, right? He's cheating. Like the mirror that he's doing, it's impossible. There's no way that you could actually get that reflection, right? So what this, and also there's all sorts of other things. Look, if you talk just the level of form, look at the gorgeousness of the tonality, right? Look at the expression. You have all the things. You could read into all sorts of things like this. Like, for example, the back of the people in the crowd, right? You could make up a whole story about what's going on in their head, and this person here is
But
thinking this or
what's
whatever. You could invent
Rude?
all these things, but
But Rude, what's
why
the
wouldn't you
difference
have it as
between
well?
your fanfic there and my fanfic here? I made all sorts of interesting readings of this, which were no less interesting than the stories you could tell about the people in this bar.
Yeah, but that's my point. I don't do the fanfic for either, right? I just let the work work. And this is why this one is better. Because it doesn't, I'm not like inventing a fan fiction. The work is actually there, right? There actually is a person. When you stand in front of this painting, it has that strange optical effect on you. It is actually doing it, right? That's why, even though it's not that profound, op art is more interesting than Duchamp. That's my whole point. It's the actual work. It's actually doing it.
But this did it.
Not.
This did it. Look at the crowd. I mean,
No,
all of the
you did
things
it.
like,
You
oh,
did it.
but what's the, I mean, okay, looking at this, and I'm not even messing around here. I could say, well, okay, this is a bar, probably in Paris, and the, okay, oh, we have to, okay, so there's a sense of atmosphere and so on. But then we start kind of drifting, and I think, well, is this guy happy over here with this woman? Are these two happy with each other? His gaze seems to be drifting. And what's he looking, is he looking at that barmaid and thinking, maybe I wish I was with her instead. She's probably looking at some trapeze act of over here. These two are there to, they don't really want to be there, but they're there to be seen because clearly this is some like place to be. There's all sorts of things we can do, but it's absolutely no different from me talking about the this being the the decline of Western metaphysics and this being about about a slice of life holding up a mirror to Parisian society. I just don't know the
They're
difference
both
between those two
boring.
things.
They're both boring. That's your the fanfic for either side is boring.
Why though?
Because it maybe it's interesting to your individual tastes, right? But I don't find it's not profound, right? It's the effect of the picture on you in person. I encourage everyone to go to Paris and actually see Manet in the flesh, right? As someone said in
I
Jackson
mean, we
Pollock,
could,
right? He is a great artist.
we could do more interesting readings though. So rather than speculating on, whether these people, like, why are these people here? We
But
could
we
say,
don't need
well,
to. But I
it's a meditation on the nature of perspective and the fact that everybody's perspective is a little bit different. So looking in a mirror for one person may be different from, it could be doing like a Rashomon. You could be like, well, everybody sees things slightly differently. This is a different
Well,
idea now.
that's a slightly more interesting idea, but it's not necessary. The point is, I don't have to do a reading for this to be a good painting.
Why not?
That's why. Because it is. Because there is. Because it depicts. Because it grabs the eye. It has all sorts of things that make it fascinating in and of itself. Right? Okay,
But
sure. Maybe
on
you
what's
like the squares. Like the squares. And in the end, it's not interesting. It has no connection with humanity and the things that are going on. Why are people so fascinating? That's why the de Kooning is better than that Duchamp, right? Because it has a resonance for us, right? All the things that we were talking about, that like the horror of the other, right? That's actually relevant to people. That actually exists, right? The squares, the scribble of Pollock, eh.
But some people might, I mean, some, I can imagine some people, some North FC type character saying, well, hold on a second, when you really start to look at this, well, what the hell's that? If we zoom in, oh, that's just a, like, all right, that's not very good, is it? That's just a couple of smudges on a, there's the
But look at
barest
those.
impression.
Totally, but that impression, you get it. You see that the face is slightly turned, right? It's lit from the light coming from the left to the right. If not that, turn your pointer to the right slightly. That you can see a person wearing a hat, a glint of the light touching their nose, their collar.
Yeah, but somebody
It's just
could. What the point I'm making is, there's just the gesture towards that, whereas somebody
but it
else might
takes
say,
skill to do that.
hold on a second though. Somebody could say, look at this one I've done where each of these things is really detailed, like Disney's Pinocchio or something, where the shadows in the background and the each individual toy has got detail.
Yeah,
That pisses all
those
over
are
Manet, in
incredible
fact.
works. Those are
But you could,
incredible.
I what I'm trying to say is, judged by that standard, Pinocchio is better than Manet. Do you understand what I'm saying? It depends on what standard. And
No,
that you.
like, okay, look, I admit there's a weakness in my argument that I'm making because I am assuming an implicit understanding of what my standard is, and I'm not articulating it. Okay, what? Sorry. Nobody. Let's break this down and back to simple tacks. Nobody has to be conned, right, or talked into the optical, the effects of you when you're standing here occupying the position of, as the viewer right in front of the painting, noticing. That, oh wow, that's a reflection, and you notice that you occupy in the position of the gentleman patron. Nobody has to talk you into that, right? Nobody has to convince you of it. It's happening to you, right? It's Manet can do everything. He can do things very refined, right? But this effect of having the background slightly out of fo slightly just daubed with brushes is akin to. Because remember, this is the time where photography had been around and painting was competing with photography, so and also influenced by photography, right? So Manet is in effect he's approximating the effects of depth of field, right? And the more that you look into optics, these things are happening with your own eye every single day, just most people aren't conscious of it, right, when they're
Okay.
looking, because their eye is moving all the time. All these things are happening to you. The oranges, aren't the oranges beautifully rendered, right? Aren't they gorgeous? Like, just look at the light coming off of
I
the
don't know. I
glass and all
mean,
these things.
I've been. I mean, looking at that, judging it against some of the Dutch masters that I saw in the in that big art gallery in Amsterdam, they were much more detailed than these oranges, which are just kind of gestured towards. So, I mean, it depends. If my benchmark is hyper kind of hyper realism, then Manet is not doing very well. But even let's just say granted that I like this impressionistic style, if this gentleman had come along and done the same thing, everybody in the art world would have said, well, you're just doing Manet, and you can't do Manet better than Manet. So he's like, okay,
Yeah,
I'll do Duchamp then. I'll do Deschamps.
Yeah, I know. That's the because the outworld says that does not make it a metric of whether something is good or bad. You know, it's the enticement of the new, right? The shock of the new burns itself out, right? And there's nothing left, and you realize there's nothing that survives. There's nothing that stands
But
after this.
I
So
can
I'm.
also imagine readings though. I can also imagine people coming at this. Let's just imagine an extremely hardcore Puritan coming at this, and they'd say, well, actually, this painting in itself is degenerate and immoral because it is normalizing drinking culture, and we shouldn't drink because it leads to moral degeneration. So actually, what he's doing here, he's glorifying alcoholism and bar culture, and he is making it seem glamorous when it, in fact, it's nothing but tawdry filth. What do you think of that
No,
reading?
I there's n this is not a gla this is nothing about this picture that is a glamorization. It that's why this work is good, because it's not simplistic like that. It is
It's not
not. It's
glamorizing.
not. No, not at all. Look at her. You get what makes this work so good is, like, as you can see now when you're zoomed in, is that you get a sense of the personality of it. You also get, just look at the his brushwork. You just get like a little hint of the reflections of light
I
on
mean,
her
there's a bit
individual
of
strands of hair. You
there's a
know,
bit of
like,
sadness.
this is,
There's a bit of sadness in her.
yeah, this is an incredibly good painting. This is one of the best paintings in the world that has ever been made, right? This is great. This is a great work of art. This is a turd.
People would
That
say
is
in
a
Europe,
turd.
but we had a just as interesting a conversation about this one as we did about this
No, we
one.
didn't. No, we had a false conversation about that one. We had a fiction. We had
Why was
fan
it? Why
fiction, like
was
you
it a thing?
said.
Why was it? Why was the things that we talked about here any less of a quote unquote fan fiction than the things we
The
talked about here?
things we talked about there weren't necessarily more interesting either, because we were wasting time making like false devil's advocate arguments. You know, they
This
weren't that
is
interesting. They
holding.
weren't any more interesting.
This is holding up a mirror to the vanity of Parisian culture in the late
Yeah,
19th
that's part
century,
of the work. Absolutely.
right? And
That's right. It's part of the work, AA. You don't have to persuade anyone of it. Everyone looking at it gets
But in
can
the same
buy that
way,
reading.
this is holding up a mirror
No, it isn't.
to the fact that this world, which was already in full degeneration, led to this world where meaning is breaking apart after Nietzsche.
That's a stretch. Yes, it's like, looking at it afterwards, you could make that argument, but it feels like a stretch to me, buddy. That's all I have to say.
All right, well, let's get some more of your points before we close up on this.
Yeah, I mean,
So you talked about the CIA. Let me hit some more of these super chats, and then we'll see where that takes us, because we're running out of, I guess we're running out of time as well.
I have to get to work too, so and I imagine people have had enough. You know, most people have had enough of me within a few minutes, so.
JP says, "What makes these lines?" And he was talking about the Botticelli drawings that you were showing. What makes those lines more impressive than the lines made with the tea bags by the New Zealand artist?
It's not tea bags, but I understand what you're saying. Well, at this point, if you can't feel it and see it, I don't know what to say. You know, one is deliberate and depictive of forms, right? And beautifully, and it's engaging and fixating, right? The other is only on the surface. There's nothing else more going on. You know, I've seen these works that Miller has been making for it's actually about, no, not 20 years, about 15 years, that particular type of work. Yeah, maybe a little bit more. But it's, they're all the same. Every picture is exactly the same. There's nothing more there. It's just surface. And this is literally the context that everyone can make it. Like as I said,
But
when
what
you've
about the
got
Madonna
the
and
same
Child,
thing.
the endless Madonna and Child? It's all
Can
the
you
just.
paint the Madonna and Child? Can you make it fix? It's endless,
But now
but can you
we're
make
back
it
to the.
interesting?
Now we're back to the argument about simplicity again. It's like, well, I can, you know.
It's not a question of that, AA. It's there are canonical symbols and forms that resonate for humanity. And the artist, in a way, almost is telling the same story over and over again with very good examples.
Like Damien Hirst. The same story over and over again with very good examples, like cow in a box.
I mean, quite literally, the canonical things. Like, you could be talking about, like Peterson does about Marduk, you know, going back to the Babylonian times. Sure.
All right. Then Charlemagne says, your coffee is trash. Grind your own beans or GTFO. I mean,
I'm even worse than you, eh? I've been having a beer. So there you go.
I mean, I like, the thing is, I kind of like the instant Nescafe Gold. It's tasty.
Sure, I drink instant coffee too, because it's just convenient. But that's because I never grew up drinking coffee. I never had a coffee until I was over the age of 30.
You know, I didn't have coffee until I was an adult either.
Yeah, so I have a super low tolerance. So I literally have half a teaspoon, and the other half I have decaf. You know, that's how pure and non-degenerative I am.
Akuda Daimyo says, there's what looks like an abstract representation of an octopus on the right, swimming left. The octopus could be a symbol for Cthulhu, symbolizing the truth that Cthulhu only swims left. I think that was talking about the Miller.
The Miller. Yeah. And look, I would say anyone could get some value out of looking at her work. You know, this is not the worst. It's just a person that I just happened to. Was one of my professors at art school, you know. That's and as I say, and I must make this clear, very nice woman. Carry on.
But you see what I've been trying to get at throughout this stream is that the thing is that
I just think it's a very very weak position. It's the default position. No, the interpretation is like I just like no. when you were. Had like the music and you're reading into all these different readings and someone said this, for example, the Kinks, who I love, right?
Yeah.
And someone said, this is the death of the author, the stream, you know?
But it wasn't those Kinks songs do evoke those readings. And the Duchamp's painting did evoke that. I mean, you couldn't look at the Duchamp's painting and say, actually, this is a painting about the nature of the banana market in 1752. Because it isn't.
Why not?
Because it's not pushing you that way. It was pushing you to. It's pushing you towards questioning the nature of meaning itself. Whereas the Manet that we looked at was pushing us to think about questions of reflection and perspective, and the Miller one was pushing us to think about shipwrecks and demons, for example.
It wasn't pushing you to do anything, but like, you know, but the difference
it was that, why if it wasn't that's... pushing if it wasn't pushing us towards demons and shipwrecks, why did so many people in the chat say, oh, I see a ship? We ended up talking about ships and not bananas, is my point.
No, with that form, you could potentially have talked about bananas. I saw, as I said, I saw like a. It wasn't the first thing I saw. Your suggestion of that ship made other people see ships. Do you understand? No, actually, it wasn't you.
They spontaneously arose with the ship. But hold on. The point I've been trying to make throughout this stream, though, is that you can never get away from. If you're going to say, well, there's some objective standard. You can never get away from saying, well, this is the standard, whether it's detail, whether it's realism, whether it's interpretive play, you know, does this make us have an interesting conversation? These are all just benchmarks, you know, in the same way that In the same way, if you used to read PC Gamer magazine, they used to give games a rating out of 100, do you remember? And they rated it out of gameplay, graphics, music, and whatever else it was. Those were the benchmarks. And in the same way, if you're trying to assess art and you're going to say, well, there's an objective standard, well, there has to be the objective standard. And maybe for some people, the standard is, well, how does this make me feel? For other people, it may be, what interesting things can we talk about with it? For somebody else, it might be, how realistic is it? And what I'm saying is, you really have to say, well, what is the standard? Otherwise, you cannot get away from it's all subjective.
Probably. I would say I have sufficient imagination that I don't need crap art to stimulate my thinking, right? So that's why I only want things that are great, because all the other ideas that you had about, I can just read the Nietzsche. I don't need this thing to remind me of it, right? And I can think about that just walking down the street. And about my interactions with people or about any of the other ideas that you talk about on the channel. I don't need that art to stimulate it for me. It's not necessary. Perhaps I'm the exception. Perhaps I am somebody who doesn't need those things to help make me navigate the world. Maybe I'm the odd one or the freak. Or maybe I'm just not the dumb one. I don't know. I'm not saying you at all. I'm not suggesting you are dumb. I'm just trying to say I want something that I can't come to myself, right? I want something that's actually enriching and ennobling, right? Something that actually reflects on the universe as it actually is. And for me, that's something that makes what makes people what sorry, something that makes me reflect on the moral aspect of how we're interacting with the world, right? Which is a point that we're getting down to. You know, it's
isn't that what we were doing though when I was looking at the Duchamp and giving you the
no,
neat
but
and
I already
giving you
had that
the
idea. I already had that idea because I've read the Nietzsche, so I don't need that. Waste of my time, right?
J all right
And so have
Jedi
you. That's
Knight.
why it's not a false. That's why it's a false argument. You've already had that idea too.
But also when we looked at the when we looked at the when we looked at the Manet, I've also seen Rashomon and thought about perspective too. And I've also thought about, I mean, all of those things that we talked about when we looked at the Manet, we could have done without looking at the Manet. So I don't see what the difference is. Anyway, I'll carry on. I'll carry on. What I love is in wrestling, there's something called a worked shoot, right? And I think slowly but surely over the course of this stream, I've been working a shoot, but I've kind of worked myself into believing the stuff I'm saying.
You have, you have.
I play devil's advocate so well, I've kind of red pilled myself on art. Jedi Knight Anakin
No, you no no
Greenwalker
no no. You
first.
have blue pilled yourself on that.
All
You've
right.
blue pilled yourself on
I
that.
see. Jedi Knight Anakin Greenwalker says, review a few Lebeus Woods work, ruin as beauty. Lebeus Woods. I've got time to look at one painting by this person.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Lebeus Woods. Let's have a look. Lebeus Woods apparently is an architect. Okay. Here's
When I searched for it, I got Lesbians Woods, X videos.
Okay, so here's one by Lebeus Woods. I assume this is one of the more famous ones because it's the first one that comes up. So there you go. It's kind of what are we looking at there?
Like a mock for a mock for a potential building, like a false photo construction with mixed media drawn over the top of it, with like a sculptural element. It looks like, right? Doesn't look like it's totally two dimensional. It looks like, or is that just an illusion? Is this the whole picture? Is it pictures within pictures? It could be.
I
More
mean,
familiar with the sky.
what I'm seeing is the looming threat of globo homo that dominates all our lives, rising out of the sea, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Well, you've got that on the brain.
This is the
And so
Matrix.
do I, but Even I don't see that. No, I mean,
But
maybe, maybe.
my point is though, Rude, is that okay? Let's say these things
But the
are.
mene is, it's not maybe dealing with
Wait, wait, wait,
reflections and
wait,
perspectives.
wait,
It
wait
is
a
dealing with
second,
that, and
though.
everyone can get it.
These things are on our mind, okay? And this painting drew it out of my mind and out of your mind, okay? This work that we
No,
were
it
looking
didn't.
at,
It
right?
did not draw
But
it out of my
and the
mind.
reason is because artists are in touch with the zeitgeist and what's in the ether. Even if they're not aware of it, they can feel something in their bones, and they make the artwork, and then we get that from the artwork. It taps into something. So this is talking to me in this way at this time, and maybe in a different time and place, it wouldn't draw those things out because that zeitgeist is lost. Something like this. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know exactly.
Red Fox Moon says you should do another stream with Daddy Sargon before he goes completely corporate. I'm in touch with Daddy Sargon quite a bit at the moment because I support what he's what his plans.
Perhaps
Christian
you should team
says,
up with Daddy Sargon.
we may well be doing. We may w well have made a little deal about he may well be on the course of shilling the course.
I sniffed a little bit of that.
Absolutely.
Love that cheese.
More people need to know about economics. Christian says, what's Rude's take on the Czech painting called Eating Ice Cream with the Help of the Secret Police? Have you seen this painting?
Yeah, I have.
What do you think about it?
I think,
You want to see it?
yeah, sure. Let's share it.
It's called The Power of Nonsense, is it? Is that it? I can't.
Well, actually, no, hang on. Getting ice cream.
I can't find it without the, without this writing over the top of it, called The Power of Nonsense. Here we go. I'll share my screen. I don't know if it's meant to have this writing on the top of it or not, but there you go,
No,
eating ice cream.
what you've got there is there's a YouTube video about this artist. It's quite a good one, talking about it. That pit the things underneath the text is what the actual picture is. I've seen this video. It's
All right, well,
interesting.
you can get the idea. All right. I mean,
Yeah, all the eyes watching him, because it's not just the secret police in this world of,
everybody
Soviet
watching
Union.
everybody else.
Everyone, ev exactly. Every you can't tell. Everyone is willing to rat on you because it's the only way to get ahead. It's the only incentive that exists in this despicable system.
But
Yeah. So it's
again,
profound.
what's the difference between that and the Duchamp, where we talked about equally profound ideas? I'll carry
Because
on.
it's.
Charlemagne
I'm just going to
says.
say the same thing again. I'm just going to say the same thing again, which is literally that it's. The work
Well, it just
is
seems
doing
that you
that
need,
without. You don't have to think.
but
You don't have to. You don't.
some people might say, well, you just need more prompting than I do. You can say, well, that's your preference, that you need a stronger prompt. You need it to be a bit more blatant,
No,
whereas
that's no, it's not even slightly like that. I can get all that shit too, right? But it's I realize that it's not there. I've made art, right? I saw how easy it was. You put how it works for the art school is you make art, right? And you put stuff up there and people in the crit and they're all gonna say some of these things, mostly that you didn't even intend, but if you're canny. Right, you go, oh yeah, I meant that, but it sounds good. Do you understand? And that's the bullshit deal with that picture by Duchamp, right? They just go, oh yeah. Con.
trillion dollar bill is in the chat saying basic economics is 20 quid on Amazon. Yeah, but basic economics won't teach you what my course does. All right, any old fool can read basic economics. It just teaches you basic Stigler price theory. I'll say it once and tell you a thousand times. Your economics education will not be complete just reading Sowell. He just teaches you one thing in that book, supply and demand determine price, essentially. That's his one lesson with about 80 million different examples. Very good in the first instance, but you need more than that to learn economics. And I did notice that Zach in the chat has said, got an opinion on Keith Woods's Whence Capitalism. And yeah, I watched that video last night, and it's just basic Marxism, and there's no reason to rebut his point. I'll just say very quickly though, he does make a straw man argument, which is that the story that Austrians, for example, tell about the origin of money, or about the barter economy, or about the Robinson Crusoe economy, are not meant to be historical explanations for the origin of capitalism or markets or money or any of those things. They are hypothetical mental constructions to determine causal relationships. That's all it is. That it's a method called ceteris paribus, and you can see David Hume doing this, who Woods mentioned quite a few times. They're not saying this is actually how it went down. Even Hobbes and Locke are not saying this actually happened, that there was this thing called the state of nature. They were trying to determine analytically what is the causal direction. That's all they were saying. So it is complete bunk to say, oh well, we look at history and this didn't exist or that didn't exist, because that's not what they were doing. And Woods, as somebody who has studied philosophy, should know that. Okay, so I will carry on. Charlemagne says, debating aesthetics is pointless because nobody cares. If you want art to be a certain way, you have to make it yourself and or pay for it. Simple as. Anything to say about that?
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that. So I don't have a problem with that opinion. It's at one level, at another level, for somebody, Charlemagne, who's interested in, and I think profoundly interested in the scriptures, I would say aesthetics is a bit more deep than that. The things that we've got into are paltry by comparison to those themes, and that's almost partly why I object to most of this stuff, because it's a waste of time when you could be talking about the aesthetics of that are in the, about the aesthetics and the relationship to the creation of the universe and God, a million times more interesting.
$1 trillion bill is still coming back with more. You can get basic economics and applied economics as a bundle for 30 quid, and I'd encourage you to do so, but it's still not going to teach you like true economics. What applied economics is Sowell pointing out basic price theory in the real world over and over and over again. I mean,
And look, I've read Basic Economics, and I'm sure Applied Economics is as AA says. I would say that it's precise the reason Sowell has to be so pedantic and almost like an autist about this is because he deals with obstinate assholes and morons who just will not accept reality. So he has to list off exhaustively so many examples over and over and over to account for all of their idiocy. But as I said, it's not going to count. It doesn't tell you anything about Austrian economics, does it?
No, or about cost, or about production, or about interest, or about difficult. JP says, "No one talked me into the burning ship. I didn't get that. I was the old dude to start with." So there we go. So JP says, basically, he didn't need to be talked into the burning ship. He saw an old dude in the painting instead. Saffron says, low IQ virgin, I like this painting. Midwit, I need reasons to like this painting. High IQ king, I like this painting. You agree with that?
Correct. I completely agree with it.
But hold on a second. Hold on.
Yeah, but you're the
No,
midwit.
I'm
You're this
not. No,
guy.
I'm not the midwit. I am not the midwit though, because the low IQ virgin and the high IQ king saying, I like this painting, the painting being like could be the Duchamp. Do you see? The painting being like could be the Damien Hirst. And
Yeah, but
or
you're
I
not
don't like.
providing a comparison. You're just looking at them in isolation. I'm saying and step back and go, out of all of these thousands that you've seen, which ones do you like best? Do that level of analysis and see if we really differ,
Hold
our
on though. If
opinion.
the most profound thing you can say about the Manet is I like this painting. What's the difference between you and the person who likes the Damien Hirst who just says I like this painting? You need a because. You need a because.
That's
The
not
the
the
midwit
most
is right
profound
here.
thing. That's not a that's that's not the most profound thing I could say. And I articulated even just some examples about that Manet, particular Manet painting. That's not the most profound thing. I'm saying that you have to be talked into buying in the legitimization of things that aren't profound. Whereas you don't when things are actually good.
I didn't need to talk. I mean, I didn't talk myself into any of those things. I just was like, I gave my honest gut reactions to each of the paintings we looked at, and the more modern ones evoked reactions just as just as the Manet did. I don't get the. I don't get the. But Saffron's point here about I like this painting. If that's the only barometer. All Saffron's saying really is,
It's
well, art is subjective. That's all she's saying. She's just saying, oh, it's subjective. So
no,
deal with it,
that's not. I
bro.
don't. Well, I don't think that's exactly what you're saying. But if that is what you're saying, then fine. I think what you're saying is that that initial instinct that tells you whether that response that you have to something is valid, and everything else that makes you have to talk yourself into something, why something's okay or or more interesting than something else like that is cope. That's, I think, is more what the point was. But I
But
could be wrong.
what about the person who's honest? Like, okay, let's take it to the world of let's take it to the world of film. Okay, you have a child of 12, okay, who honestly watches Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, or whatever it's called, and says, honestly, in my heart of hearts, I think this is the best film I have ever seen. I like this film.
Yep, but I
Now,
can tell
there's no
you, I was a 12 year
on.
old. I was a 12 year old, and I wouldn't have liked Harry Potter. I
Right,
could still
okay.
tell the difference. Now listen, this is really crucial and important. I could still tell the difference. I watched Star Wars, as probably you did actually, considering how sheep-pilled you are. I watched Star Wars before I was 10 years old, over 30 times, right? So, but I didn't. But I could also see by the time I was 12 that other things were better than it, that other things were more profound, that there was another more profound, more adult world, right, of ideas. So the fact that this child is still 12, right, or worse, 18, and even reading Harry Potter, say, right, and can't tell the difference, that's a reflection of their deficiency, right?
But now,
That's not
but
cope. That's
you're
not a
you,
talking into it.
you
I'm
here's the
saying I can
problem.
see more.
Here's the problem though. Here's the problem though. On Saffron's barometer, you're the midwit because you're saying, oh, I can see more. Whereas her barometer is, I like this. Oh, I like this. I like Harry Potter. End of discussion. It's the midwit to say who needs to give reasons for it. I like
No,
so on Saff
I'm
on
not. I don't
Saffron's
need to give
barometer, the
reasons.
12-year-old kid is right in thinking Harry Potter is the best film of all time. I'm just trying to draw out the logical conclusion of the high IQ take being I like this painting. And the logical conclusion is it leads you to a point where you say a 12-year-old thinking Harry Potter's the best film ever
It's just as valid.
is just as valid as Brian Sewell in front of Madonna and Child. So let's carry on. I mean, maybe she can pop back up to explain what she meant, but I actually think that that is the natural conclusion. The natural conclusion is Saffron is the 12-year-old kid who just says I like Harry Potter. Owain says and apparently that's the high IQ take, so you be the judge. Owain says art is ergonomic. The same issue in modern art exists in modern architecture. The way it interfaces with the person is hostile. What about that idea that there's hostility in modern art?
I think there's some truth to that because, sorry, let me get close to the mic. I think there's some truth to that, but as you've said, partly because the function of art and painting changed, partly because of technology, right? Because of photography and much more so because of cinema, right? It captured the public's attention in a way that painting never has, to the public. So it felt a need to be aggressive, and draw attention, but in a narcissistic way. It's even more narcissistic in the case of architecture, because at least a painting you can walk away from it, With architecture, it invades your life. It's
Charlemagne says, the greatest works of art and modernity are produced by Heckler and Koch.
He means the inventor of the MP5 submachine gun.
I
H
see.
and K.
I see, okay.
Very interesting. Look.
But I mean, Charlemagne even there has made a profound comment on the modern world we live in. A geoman says,
Yes, he
drinking.
has. He has.
Geoman says drinking hot instant coffee is better than making it frappe. Oh, sorry,
True.
drinking hot instant coffee, sorry, is worse than making it frappe. So he's being a coffee supremacist.
He's being a coffee snob. Bravo to him.
Sensum Comenium says all art is pointless apart from music. Here, have a fiver and put it towards your next Stormzy purchase. Well, apparently, sense some, the high IQ take is to say, I like Stormzy. Deal with it, bro. I like Stormzy. You like Shakespeare? I like Stormzy. That's the high IQ take. Kristen Carlson says, all I'm doing on this stream is interrogating the propositions I'm being given and trying to give kind of logical objections or draw out where these arguments go. That's all I'm trying to do. Christian Carlson says the easiest way to judge art is to ask the question, do I want this in my house? Well, I mean, that's not a very easy question. I don't know if you're married, Christian Carlson, but if I wanted to bring that Duchamp back and stick it on the sitting room wall, I would have to try to persuade Mrs. AA that she wanted that there, and she's got her
Correct.
own. He's got her. She's got her own paintings there. She's got an artist that. But we've got several artworks, it would involve taking down hers and putting that there. I really wanted to buy some Soviet art before because I really like something about that kind of social realist style that they were pushing in the mid 30s and 40s. She was having none of it. I wanted to buy a painting before of industrial production in 19th century Wales, and she was like, "Yeah, I can't really put that on the wall in the flat. It's not going to look very good." So I would say it's not an easy way to judge art if you're married. So, do you agree, Rude?
No, I think Mrs. AA is tapped into the simple and primordial aesthetic sensibility that Duchamp is shit. And
Send some Comenium. Well, I mean, all you're really giving me though is I dislike Duchamp and I like Manet, whereas I have given reasons for both. Send some Comenium says, if the WEF's greatest reset becomes a reality, then won't that make current economic theory redundant? Would a course still be worth doing in that case? Well, the thing is, Sensum Comenium, it doesn't matter if your system is the World Economic Forum's Great Reset, if it's FDR's New Deal Keynesianism, if it's medieval monks running a guild system in 10th century AD, Europe. The rules of economics don't change. They don't change, and the course will help you see those. See that underlying reality and structure, regardless of what the actual economy, how it's currently structured or what it's doing, it will make you understand, for example, well, what's going wrong here? Why did the medieval guild system have problem where there were regular bouts of starvation among the peasantry, for example. Why were they stuck doing subsistence farming for 400 years? Well, if anybody's done the course, they'll be able to answer those questions.
But more to the point, Saffron says that I'm right and you're wrong.
Well, that's a profound argument. That's the high IQ take, just to say I liked it. I like this.
No, we were talking about interpretation, and this is my point. I had the correct interpretation, and you didn't.
All right. Well, that's what it boils down to. I'm right and you're wrong, essentially. Okay.
That's right. Yes.
If you're in the chat and you were persuaded by Rude's arguments, press one. If you were persuaded by my arguments, press two. And we'll just see how that goes. Let's have a look.
That's right.
Someone's saying Manet
I've
would have
got
been
him
in it.
down. Oh. Oh, boo coming from the crowd. Bum, bum, bum.
Seems like there's a bit
One.
of a.
Two. Oh, he's lifting an elbow. Hey, he's lifting an elbow.
There's quite a few ones and quite a few twos, and a
Yeah,
lot of
it's
sitting
pretty
up.
even.
Quite a few. Okay.
Ben Gale, I'm just simping for number two. I'm just simping for AA.
Good. All right. Well, thank you very much. Oh, Sensum Comenium has just come in, says, but the main goal of the Great Reset is allegedly wealth distribution. Isn't that just theft? Is theft an economic model? Well, the thing is that economics, as I teach it on that course, is just a value-free tool to help you analyze things. I don't really get into the morality of whether wealth distribution is theft or not theft. What I could tell you is a model of perpetual wealth redistribution will probably lead to economic ruin. A pretty good example is that video I just made on Haiti, where they essentially adopted a model of distributism, where in each generation, anybody with land holdings had to split the land holdings evenly between their kids. What that led to over time was, land holdings becoming smaller and smaller with each generation. So the original landowners back in the days of French slavery would have, the plantation would have been 300 hectares, whereas today the average Haitian peasant has something like 0.75 hectares, because with each generation their holdings become smaller, which then destroys your ability to have economies of scale. It destroys your ability to do crop rotation, and it leads to one of the least productive places in the entire world. So, and that's as a result of wealth distribution. You don't even need a moral or value argument to show the outcome. If the goal is greater productivity, distribution is a poor method of doing it. So there we go. All right, I think that'll do. I'm hope people enjoyed Deepest Law, and
Can we
yeah,
just share my screen? Can we?
go on. Oh yeah. So this is you calling out John D. You're saying, is John D willing to face you?
No, this is just me showing a real work of art.
This
but
is what a
no.
real set. This is what a real sexy man looks like. It's supposed to. It's what a man is supposed to look like, John D.
Yeah. But anyway, what I just wanted to say is that I counted up the numbers and it's 11 to me, 10 to you. Oh, and William C coming in, that makes it 12 to me, 10 to you. I win. Boom.
Look at that. 12,
Rickroo. Get out, get out, get out.
12 votes for I like this. All right. Bye, everyone.